Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the show, along with Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Kel Carson. We have a very special show going on here. It's the 30th anniversary of Mac Group Detroit, the largest user group for Macs in the Midwest. And we have a number of people from that group here with us, and we'll be talking with them a little bit more in the second hour. Matter of fact, they're here to answer questions with you, along with security expert Kasten Thomas. So hang on, there's a great hour coming. Welcome to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. We're delighted to have the privilege of being on for 2 hours here, and has been going on for nearly 18 years. Gary and I and our tech experts like Mr. Ed Rudell. Ed, you're no longer a silent partner. You got to be part of the program now.
I was having birthday cake for the entire hour. That's fine with me.
Sugar high.
And Kel Carson as well. Kel, thank you so much for being here.
The man is just consuming sugar by large volumes. And that's okay, because then he can keep up with your lovely granddaughter, because he's going to need all the energy producing with her.
There we go. And that is Logan. Logan Staniford, my granddaughter, who is also our producer. Thank you very much. And Eric Dorch is here, too. Thank you, Eric, for being here. Eric is our engineer today. Why don't you once again, Kel, introduce the people from Mac Group Detroit that you've been part of and that we've been publicizing for many years. Let's talk a little about what is it. And first of all, let's introduce the people who are here.
Well, to my right, if you were looking at your stereo speakers on your radio, to my left, actually, is Sheeta Hunter. She is a technology consultant and a member of Mac Group. Next to her is Chuck Friedman. He is with IBM, and he serves also as a high-level technology consultant for a major industry in the Detroit area. And then, of course, down on the far end, we have the ever-popular Dave McGuire, who is actually a Apple employee at the Partridge Creek store.
Right?
And if you go in there, you'll see his smiling face, and he'll definitely take care of you anytime you walk in the door.
Now, by the way, Dave, you are the person that's at the Genius Bar, right?
This is correct.
That's the person there. Oh, we love you guys. Oh, you've saved my bacon a number of times. Matter of fact, they're planning on cornering them before we leave the studios. And we also have in studio with us, and we want to thank him very much for being with us, and that is Kasten Thomas, who is an expert in security. He is the president of Interworks. And Kasten, we're going to be inviting you to talk with us in a little bit later on the program for our listeners, especially this hour of the program, about passwords, whether passwords are passé, and also about ransomware, because that's something we get a lot of calls about.
Absolutely.
And speaking about those calls, I want you to let you know we are going to be chattering away in here, but the phone lines are open for your question, whether it's about a Mac computer or whatever you may be having trouble with. And the number is 800-859-0957. My only word of advice is don't wait till the end of the program. If you've got a question, chime in right now. Heaven knows what happens very often is that many other people will benefit from both your question and the answers that we dig for as well. Again, the number is 800-859-0957.
Just like in Chicago, call early, call often.
Sheeta, would you please tell us about with Mac Group Detroit? Now, I've been meeting for 30 years. When the next meeting is, and it's a special one that's coming up.
Yes, our meeting tomorrow, it's held at the Birmingham Temple. The meeting is from 3 p.m. until 5 p.m., and the Birmingham Temple is located on 12 Mile Road between Inkster and Middlebelt.
Okay, on the west side of Detroit?
Inkster and Northwestern.
Okay. Inkster and Northwestern,
yes.
Right.
And we prior to the meeting, we have a session called the Genius Table.
Yes.
Where we help people out. Our meetings are free to attend. You don't have to be a member to come to the meeting and to enjoy the information that's given. Mm-hmm. We actually have a lot of people who do come and do that. And sometimes they love it so much that they actually join. But from prior to the meeting, from 2 o'clock until 3 o'clock, we have the Genius Table where you can come in with your software issues, your hardware issues. People bring their computers and say, hey, I got a problem. Please help me. Bring mm-hmm. their iPads and their iPhones.
Yep.
And we just do our best to help them out. And we have quite a lot of helpful people.
Oh, I can testify that I've gone there with the problems. And the nice thing about it is you kind of attract attract help as you're there. There's three or four people who will be with you to help you with the problems you're having.
Absolutely.
It's a great, and it's a great, great thing. No cost involved in it, but these people are tremendously helpful, and they have had a world of information and experience as well. So that's a monthly meeting.
Yes.
On the...
We usually meet on the third of every month.
Okay.
Third Sunday of every month.
Third Sunday, okay.
Yes.
And that's at the end of Birmingham Temple on 12 Mile Road. Between Inkster and Northwestern.
Inkster and Northwestern. And if you would like to see more information about the group, you can visit our site, macgroup.org.
Macgroup.org?
Yes.
Familiar one here at the Internet Advisor. We'll be posting the link to that as well. And Kasten, we mentioned before, Kasten Thomas is with us, and we'll be talking about security issues. We have a couple of callers already coming on board, Cindy and Steve, and we'll be with you in just a moment. Cindy from Westland. And let's see, we also got a Google Drive question coming up. That brings to mind a question that I have, and I think I'll wait until we, after the next break, to ask you about that, Chuck, because you've been working for IBM now for quite a while. And one of the questions that was coming up here is, which system, and we have it on the air frequently, matter of fact, as we get closer to kids going back to college, which system should I send my kids back with? Should it be a PC, or should it be a Mac, or now... The big issue is, Ed, we've talked about this before, Chromebooks. Matter of fact, you and I were talking about that we should be doing a program on Chromebooks because they have kind of become the really red-hot item.
If you're just doing homework and stuff, yeah. But if you're doing photo editing, then you got to choose a different platform.
Right.
But if you're just doing homework, most of the colleges provide the students with Google Gmail credentials, and they use their Google Drives. Homework assignments are based on a web-based interface where they're distributed, and the kids upload them to the teacher's own boards, their bulletin board, if you will.
And our buddy Talon is going, your son is going to
Grand Valley, GVSU, fourth year. He'll probably go to a fifth and a sixth, lifetime student.
He says with a resigned sigh.
Did you hear that in my voice?
Michigan State offers an Office 365 account to all students also. So Word, Excel, PowerPoint, as well as an online presence there.
Yeah, this is happening. A lot of colleges are doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is that Grand Valley is now, they're putting their material on Google Drive, right?
Right, mostly, yeah. Well, okay. Yes, it seems that way.
And did they hand out Chromebooks? I mean, are they...
No. The kids are... No, I wish.
But they're relatively cheap.
Yeah.
In terms
of... The big decision was, should I get a high-end PC or a regular low-end Mac, a high-end Mac?
Good question. And I think we're going to try to face some of that question with Chuck in a little bit. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back in just a minute to start taking some of your calls. Thank you so much for joining the celebration here. Whether it is my high-calorie birthday cake that we'll be posting online. Thank you very much, by the way, Gary, for bringing that in. And
no problem. You've got the photos, so we can get it posted
there
online so people can enjoy the cake virtually.
I should have stuck to the virtual celebration.
The part I really like is that I'm never here on my birthday, which is really good, so I don't have to worry about ever eating extra calories.
Do we know when that is?
We
will find out.
It will not be revealed.
We'll find out.
Sheeta, we will have to find this out and publish it, of course. All right. Let's go to our phone calls. Our number here is 800-859-0957. We have a group in from Mac Group Detroit celebrating their 30th anniversary. And also Kasten Thomas, our security expert, plus our group of experts as well. And let's go to Cindy from Westland. Cindy, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Very well, thank you. You're a frequent flyer here.
Yeah, I know. But this time I'm not calling with a problem.
Oh.
I wanted to call and thank you guys. I was on a few weeks ago. My daughter's computer wouldn't connect to the internet after uploading to Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
I did a couple of the things you guys suggested and it still just wouldn't work. Mm. So I went to your website and looked at the recommended local PC stores.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to give a shout out to the guys over at PC Gladiator over here in Westland, Livonia area.
Good, yes.
We dropped it off, and there is some kind of interaction with the AVG virus scan software we had on there that it didn't like it. And so he took that off, put on, what is it, Trend Micro, I think it was.
Okay. Okay.
And put that on, and less than $100, and we were out the door.
Oh, that is good news.
And
it's working. It's working for you.
It's working fine. I was just on it to run the scan one time before we take her back to school tomorrow, and No problems whatsoever. So I just wanted to thank you guys for your great work and give a shout out to PC Gladiators.
Oh, thank you very much for doing that, Cindy. By the way, that what Cindy's referring to is at the bottom of every one of our show notes, and this is after we publish the podcast. There is a little thing at the bottom there that talks about our trusted computer places. And Ed, for over the years, what we've been doing is we take your recommendations out there, the people who are in the field, and you know yourselves, and say, where are you and who do you trust? Who's dealt with you fairly and done a good job? And we had the folks from PC Gladiator on with us. Oh, my, it must be
About a year ago.
A little over a year ago, yeah.
And they have a great logo. I love their logo. I have one of their hats, and every time I wear it, people say, what is that? And then when I tell them, they go, oh, cool.
But even better, they do a great job with computers. Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Glad to hear that that worked. I know, Ed, you had worked on that a long time as well. We should probably find out what they did that worked.
Well, they said that they uninstalled the AVG because it was obviously interfering with the operating system or had false positives or something.
I want to ask Kasten, as a security expert, she's talking about AVG. We recommended that system for, matter of fact, one of the finest ones out there. Mm-hmm. And then it seems to change, and now it's Trend Micro. Are we at a place where is anyone better than anybody else?
Probably. But if I gave you an answer today, it would change next week.
That's it.
They just leapfrog each other, right? When as the new versions come out for each system.
Right, and it might depend upon what you're doing. If you're always on email, you might benefit from one of the systems more than if you're a web browser or if you're downloading lots of files. One of the things that I talk about is a digital SPF. You know, how much security do you need? There's not one answer.
Okay.
You know, the SPF for me is the security protection factors. Who am I? How long will I be exposed? What will I be doing? So just like going out into the sun needing an SPF level of 20.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, I might need, as a security professional and doing the things that I do, need an SPF level of 50 instead of a 20.
Because you're diving deep. And messing with the people.
I've got lots of friends and lots of enemies.
I was going to say. So your SPF has to be pretty high to protect it. That is an interesting way of looking at it. Is there any way of gauging, for instance, what mine would be? I use a lot of email. I download a lot. I upload a lot.
About 100.
And considering the machines that I've destroyed over the years, probably you're right, Gary.
You're a public figure. There's an exposure there.
Exposure being, okay.
You know, a person who's in a clerical job may not have the same access to information that a CEO would or the head of a nuclear power plant.
You right.
Know, it comes back to that factor of, you know, the bad guys want to get at things that are worth more money or more exposure or
they
more
don't
damage.
Want my bank account.
Well, and it's interesting. Not only is it direct exposure, but we've had from time to time people would send us a file and we think this is infected. What do you think?
I think this is a scorpion here.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines and say hello to Steve in Westland. Steve, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thanks. I got a question. I need some help regarding Google Drive. Trying to download and save it to my hard drive. I'm not seeing any options. It just keeps saying open, and then you open it, and it opens into Pixel, or not the Google, what do you call it, Picasa, and it still won't let me.
Well, in other words, it opens you back up on online. Ed, did you hear that? Or does anybody else want to comment on that? Take a shot at it? Go ahead, Ed.
Well, you know, I don't use Google Drive, but usually when you see the individual documents, you do have the ability to right mouse click. Have you tried the right mouse click and looked at the options?
It's still not working, yeah.
Anybody else here use Google Drive on a frequent basis? Chuck, were you going to make a comment?
I was going to say the same thing, is you should be able to right-click on an image if that's what you're looking at or a document, and one of the choices is save to your local.
Yeah, and Steve, I have Google Drive, and the way it works for me, I understand, is the drive, I don't think, is on my computer. It's in the cloud. But what it does is, as you were saying, Chuck, is it gives me another option now that once I've installed it on my computer or downloaded it to my computer,
I right-click on something that's on my computer, and then I can save that up to the cloud, not necessarily on my computer.
There is a piece of software that you can install, and then it creates a folder on your computer that synchronizes.
Okay, like
with
Dropbox
the drive.
Does.
Exactly.
Just like Dropbox.
And then you just need to know where that folder is. And then.
So why would we ever want a folder on our own PCs today?
That's a good question.
Do we trust Google?
To a network. I need to save the photos to a network. So. But I'm right-clicking on the document, the Google Drive. It's not doing anything.
And then the other question, Gary, is Google Drive backing up that data for you? And if Google Drive one time, if Google decides they're not going to run that drive anymore, how do you get your data back?
So I trust Google more than I trust me.
But do you trust your internet service provider to be up 100% of the time?
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, so far I can always seem to get there because I could use my AT&T from my wireless cellular provider. I can always get to the net no matter where I'm at.
Steve, did you begin to have these problems as soon as you downloaded or installed Google Drive?
It seems like I've always had this problem, so it's been a while now, so.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since. What are you using Google Drive for?
Well, let's say somebody sends me a picture to my text, so I send that text to email address, the Google address email, mm-hmm. then I try to save that, upload it to Google Drive, then try to download it to the hard drive of my computer. Now, if there's an easier way to download that picture to my hard drive from the text.
You use it as a way of grabbing the images. See, because mine does it automatically. If I plug my iPhone into my computer, it automatically uploads to Google Drive. I get a screen. In other words, the browser pops up and it shows Google Drive and it shows the photos that it's uploaded to Google Drive. It does it automatically. Does it do that for you?
Well, this is a text message from somebody else. Image from somebody else.
Okay, but you want to save images up there?
The image from a text message to the best scenario is to save it to my hard drive so I can save it to the network. So the fastest way to do that.
Well, let's see if we got anybody else here who can comment on that. Go ahead, guys.
Well, so this is an image in a text message. Is that what you said?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Oh, so that doesn't have anything to do with Google Drive at this point.
Well, like I said, I'm trying to find the best way to upload that to my hard drive, and I thought the best way to do it is to save it, send that text to the email address, then save it to Google Drive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and that's what I've done with my wife just a few days ago. She asked me the same question. You know, I got this photo. She has a bridal shower to go to. It shows the color of the dresses.
Okay.
And she wanted to take that text message. She emailed it to her Gmail account, and then she had the ability then to then print it or save it to her Google Drive. She goes, but then I want it on my hard drive. And I said, why would you want it on your hard drive? It's on your Google Drive. You don't need it on your hard drive. The concept for her was a little difficult, but...
And it sounds like you're facing somewhat the same thing then, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm right now on Google Drive.
Is personal, where I want to save that to a network which is off the drive. So,
but your problem is you can't save it from your text message.
Well, like I said, maybe I can get your help on that one to save it to my hard drive from a text message. I don't see an option there either.
All right, Steve. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna put you on hold, okay? Because it sounds like we need to unravel a couple of things. We'll try to do that during the break as we are coming off the air here. Back in just a minute. The number is 800-859-0957. Bob in Bradenton, Florida is going to be with us to talk about his iMac. Back in just a second for that as we continue with the Internet Advisor. Thank you so much for joining us for this Internet Advisor. Eric Norse, thank you. Back here again. Delighted to see him as our engineer. Logan Sandifer, our producer, my granddaughter. Thank you so much for being here. And for the birthday cake, thanks, guys, for that. It's going to take me another 70 years to work off the calories. We have a whole group of people in here from Mac Group Detroit, where they're celebrating their 30th anniversary. And that is going to be tomorrow at 3 p.m. Sheeta Hunter, you were sharing with us that that's the meeting itself begins at 3, but there's a genius bar. The kind that Dave McGuire serves on at Partridge Creek and some of the other places that he's worked as an Apple employee.
Yes.
And you can get some help there, all for nothing. But You got other fun things going to be going on at that meeting, right?
Yes, we're going to have a lot of surprise guests tomorrow, and we're going to have some great prizes. So please come out.
Did I see an iPad Mini in there? As one of those?
You probably did. We have given, you know, the one wonderful thing about Mac Group is that we've given away some wonderful prizes at Mac Group, and I've even had people come to me and say, how can you possibly have won that in Mac Group? Well, we're special.
Ah, I love it. Speaking of special, here's Cal.
Now, here's the caveat on the prizes. They are wonderful prizes. We give them away via raffle tickets that you get one free if you're a member, and each one after that you can buy. But you can only participate in a raffle if you're a member. But you can join tomorrow at
there
the beginning
we go.
Of the meeting.
I love it.
And if you win, you get a picture with Calvin.
Ooh, now that, folks. Autographed, I hope, Cal.
I'll be in the lobby.
And I want to make a quick correction. You know how you get used to your car just driving you places?
Yes.
I'm used to that. So the Birmingham Temple is on 12 Mile between Inkster and Middlebelt.
Okay. All right. Inkster and Middlebelt.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Let's go back to, let's check in with Florida. I love the reach of this station. Hello, Bob from Bradenton, Florida. How you doing?
Well, thank God. I'm doing wonderful. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very, very much.
I am an ex-Ann Arborite for almost all my life till I moved down to Florida, 4 years ago? Uh-huh. You know, God's waiting room.
I love it. And how are you listening to us, by the way?
iHeartRadio.
Excellent. One of the many ways that you can get in touch with the Internet Advisor and WJR on a live basis. I know, that's wonderful.
I listen to WJR all day down here. There's nothing good enough down here like you guys. WJR, period. Sorry.
We'll take that. Now, you had a question about a Mac device.
Okay, I actually have two iMacs, but the one I'm concerned with is it's a late 2012. I'm running 10.8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it keeps popping up saying I need to update. You know, they want me to update this thing to El Capitan, I guess. But I'm scared to death to do it.
Because
the thing is running wonderfully.
Yeah, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it is the general rule.
Exactly. The only problem I'm having is my iPhoto quit working. I open iPhoto, and it says, all of a sudden it shuts down and says, too bad.
Yeah, there was a complete overhaul to that, I think. Dave McGuire, we're going to bring you into the conversation as somebody who is a Mac expert.
Thank you. Don't be afraid of 10.11 El Capitan. It's a great piece of software. Please back up your computer before
I have everything backed up on a separate hard drive that's been plugged into this thing since day one.
Time machine. Excellent. Okay.
You will find that iPhoto is going to be replaced with the program called Photos,
right?
Which is what's on your iPhone or your iPad if you have one.
I have all Apple. Two iPads, two of these, an Apple phone. Okay.
Steve loves you.
Well, that's great.
I love Apple. I mean, I couldn't do anything better.
What you may want to try to do to resolve your issue with iPhoto, however, as you're ready to click on the iPhoto icon, hold down Option and Command. Click on iPhoto and just keep holding for a little bit. It'll bring up a dialog box that'll give you the ability to try and repair permissions inside of iPhoto itself.
Oh.
It'll give you a couple of different options. There should be four of them. Start at the top, go through them, turn off iPhoto when it looks like it's finished, launch it again, see if it works. The very last one will take hours. So just keep that in mind.
I'm sorry, it's hard for me to hear you in a way.
The very last one may take hours. So be ready to wait for a while.
Expect to spend 15 minutes on the first one and up to a couple hours on the last one if you end up going through all of them. Well, that's great.
I love it. In God's waiting room.
when you were saying go ahead and update it, that may also fix it?
No.
That's not going to fix my iPhoto.
You want to fix your iPhoto before you update.
Oh, that's an important point.
So once you get that wrapped up, if you do want to go to El Capitan, go for it.
So, Dave, again, that is control. What is the control?
Command and option.
Command and option.
Right.
Right.
And hold that down, then click on iPhoto.
Okay.
And give it about 15 to 20 seconds. You will get a pop-up window giving you four options. Start at the top. It'll let you rebuild your iPhoto library database, all the way to repairing your iPhoto database.
That sounds wonderful.
I'll try that first.
Excellent. Give that a shot.
Another computer.
Oh, no, I don't think you need to do that. Bob, thanks so much, and have a great day down there in Florida.
Every day's a party down here.
All right, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Shift left and move. Thank you very much for being on with us. Let's see. Oh, we had somebody from Redford, Derek from Redford, on line four here. Hi, Derek. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Derek, you still there? I think we may have. Oh, shoot. I hope Derek will. Logan, if he's not there, let's see if we can. I'm going to put it on hold because Derek had some thoughts that might help people who are having problems with that Google Drive. Okay. Let's go for, line six here. We were talking with Tony from Royal Oak, has a comment about the Google Drive office. So let's talk with him. Tony, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, I'm glad that I might be able to help you, but if not, let me just tell you, I'm an older guy, and I'm not computer literate, mm-hmm. but what I do with my phone is I take the picture and I download it into my photo on the phone, you know, the photo file,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then you can plug your phone into your computer and download the pictures.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yep. And that's one other method of doing it. I thought of that after we lost that caller is, yes, any text message, you could save it. It'll go to the downloads folder and or the gallery, and then you could plug in that USB cable, and then
it should automatically then upload to your photos.
It won't automatically upload. What happens, Samsung or most Android phones, when you install it or when you connect a cable, it installs it as a power charging and an installer. So when you try to use your My Computer to navigate to your Android phone, it's going to not be there. It'll just install an application. But what I do is I swipe down from the top and I say, this is a photo media device. It gives you the option for how would you like to connect this Android phone as a installer or as a media device or like a USB drive. Mm-hmm. I select USB drive, navigate to the photos folder and download the folders that way.
Got it. Okay. Does that help you?
Well, that's what I was trying to help that guy. I'm so glad
you brought that up.
I'm glad you really pitched it. By the way, this, folks, is how the Internet Advisor works over the years, is people call in with this kind of advice to help with. So thank you. Go ahead, Tony.
My son's going to go crazy when he finds out I gave somebody an answer that was correct, since I'm not computer literate. So this is great. You made my day.
It is allowed. And matter of fact, when the podcast is published, you will have proof that you can download and just stick under his nose a little bit.
Yeah, well, you now qualify as a computer expert.
There you go.
Well, you know what? You know what he does for me now? He got kind of mad at me coming over all the time, so he taught me how to use Skype so he can take over my computer screen.
I love it.
And he shows me, do this. I said, okay, thanks.
Hey, the next time around, suggest remote desktop. And so he can get in there and he can fiddle around all to his heart's desire. But I love it.
Right.
Great story.
All right, thanks, guys. You made my day. Take care.
We made an instant expert out of Tony. That is really good. All right, let's go to John in Dearborn. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, John.
Thank you. Do you have a five-year-old there that could answer my question?
Five-year-old, probably.
Actually, two questions, I guess. I want to know what a hotspot is. And if I go to a business that advertises, they have Wi-Fi, and another one comes up on the screen, am I violating any laws if I hook onto that one?
You know, Kasten, I'm going to ask you if you could step in on this, because it's an interesting question he's asked, and I think for people who aren't, you know, if you will, tech savvy, all of a sudden this whole business, the hotspots pops up, and they think, oh, good, I can get online for free, but there are some concerns that are involved in it. And as a security expert, what are some of the concerns?
Generally, from a legal standpoint, if someone wants to restrict you from their network, they need to put up a warning screen when you log in order to provide access to that network. And then you click on what's called the acceptable use policy, mm-hmm. and then you're gaining access.
So for John, he's asking, first of all, what a hotspot is. A hotspot is an access to the Internet through somebody's network.
Sure. The hotspot is typically a Wi-Fi network that someone's providing for public access. It's really that that straightforward.
Should I be concerned? Should John be concerned about joining public hotspots that are wide open and free?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because what's the concern?
The concern is that someone can monitor all of your traffic and gain access to your computer, or at least gain access to the emails or what you're browsing, potentially access your network with the access that you're getting by gaining access to that service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the one question is, and I've had people at work tell me this or ask me this, if they use the wide a wireless hotspot, but they're using VPN, so they're creating a tunnel between their PC and their corporate network. And I told them, if you're using VPN to get to the corporate network, you're secure at that point. You should be secure.
You should be secure. Mm-hmm. There are different levels of VPN encryption.
And a VPN is a virtual private network. That's right. Why it's a tunnel between you and the business, right?
Right. So corporate laptops, that's the way in the corporate environment how they do it. But there's also a lot of internet service providers that are providing VPN for standard users for a minimum fee per year.
So anywhere you are, whether it's a McDonald's or any other kind of a public hotspot, you could essentially have a secure connection then? Gary, were you on?
That's my understanding, but I just don't know how reliable those, you know.
It's going to depend on the source of the VPN software that you're using. If you get something that your company's providing, more than likely, you know, if they vetted the product and are comfortable with that level of security that they're providing.
Now, the way you answered that question, Kasten, should our audience be concerned that if they sign on to a Wi-Fi provided by McDonald's or Panera Bread or somebody like that or a hotel, would that be a problem?
We'll see if we can get an answer to that when we return in just a moment. Great. With the Internet Advisor and wrapping up things here on the 30th anniversary show for Mac Group Detroit. Once again, I'd like to thank the folks from Mac Group Detroit who have been in here. Kel, thank you so much for bringing a whole bunch of good friends along and for letting us in on the secret of what Mac Group Detroit is.
Well, I've really got to say that, you know, this 30 years has been incredible, though I haven't been there for the full 30. But over the 30 years, I got to say that it's one of the best organizations that I'm most proudest of being a member of. And I've met some very unique and wonderful people through that organization, three of which are in this room right now. And it's just a great time to be part of it. And I welcome everyone to come out and check us out tomorrow.
Now, well, you enabled us to get Woz on the air. Remember, was it you that did that?
Well, Mac Group, yeah. I worked with another Mac Group member in doing that, but Woz was in the area to speak to the group. I think we're having our 20th or our 25th anniversary, and he came in to speak.
I think it was the 20th.
Yeah, and so that's been over 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a ball, too.
So we had a chance to bring him down to the station, and he's just a ball to have.
We're talking about Mr. Wozniak, who was one of the really co-founders of Mac.
Apple, he's more of the engineering side of the business. He's the one who actually made the Mac or the Apple II or the Apple to be what it was, and then it just went on from there.
And he's been on with us after that via phone.
Yeah, but he was in studio with us. There was a ball. It was really fun. A privilege to have him in studio with us as well. And thank you as well to Sheeta Hunter, who is with us, and to Chuck Friedman, and to Dave McGuire, who are from the group. Thank you so much for being with
You're
us.
You're quite welcome.
As a matter of fact, I made a little mini appointment with Dave tomorrow. I'm going to haul my old MacBook Pro in there and see if I can figure out a couple of fixes for some of my software. And thank Kasten. Thank you so much for being with us, Kasten Thomas.
It's a pleasure.
And we're going to have you back again. Okay, can we have you back again?
Sure, absolutely. Right. It's been great.
I want to spend some time talking at leisure about the whole issue of passwords.
Okay.
Because that seems to be a huge, huge issue that we're facing nowadays about how you keep them. I saw an article the other day that a password should be, and this is from way back when, that it should be a phrase. And the phrase could be heaven knows how many
characters. Yep.
A passphrase, exactly.
Yeah, but you got too many legacy systems that are limited to 8 characters and 12, and
there you go.
That kills you.
Well,
there you
what's go. Even worse than that is if we're going to a passphrase, why would I want something longer? Everybody wants a password that's shorter.
Supposedly, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, would be easier to remember than uppercase, lowercase, exclamation point, and all the rest of that stuff.
And we're a lot of companies now are
foregoing making people change every 90 days.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Just having a hard time remembering, and we're going to 180 days, and sometimes there's been a couple gone a little longer. So.
And the problem with that is, too, is you fall back. I find in my own self, I fall back, Kasten, on some of the old ones, the bad habits, you know, short ones that I've used over and over and over again, because at 70, I'm a little hard time hanging on to those things.
And then you write them on a sticky note and put the sticky note on the computer so that you remember it. So it's not secure anyway.
There you go.
Or everybody just lifts up the keyboard because it's under the keyboard or the right top drawer, right?
Yeah, don't hide the key under the rock right next to your front door.
Or right, under exactly. the mat, right.
So that is a big issue coming up, and we want to have you back soon to talk about that. Thank you very much.
Now, before we left for the commercial, we asked Kasten about public internet access hotspots.
Yes.
Sure. The big problem and the caution that you have when you go to a Starbucks or to McDonald's or Burger King or anything,
whenever we mentioned,
is that anybody can name an access point whatever they want to. So if someone wanted to hack into computers or gain access to computers, they would just go to a Starbucks, sit in the parking lot, fire up their own Wi-Fi access point and call it Starbucks.
Or Starbucks 2 or whatever you want, because our Starbucks guest, you know, could be anything like that.
Well, one of the techniques that hackers use is that at a major intersection, they will install a Wi-Fi access point with the name Netgear.
Oh, my
Linksys,
goodness.
I've heard of that, yes.
Yep. Oh, wow. But
your computer will automatically attach to that access point.
But then you look on the URL and you say, wait a minute, that's not Panera.com, right?
Well, I went to a Starbucks one time, fired up my computer. Yes, I do that from time to time.
I've seen you in a Panera Bread do the same thing.
I got immediate access to the
internet. And I got an email from you that said, look to your left, if I recall.
You never know where I might be lurking.
So you,
now, the whole idea of that is that, you know, you're using a network, you go into Starbucks, and you automatically connect without that acceptable use policy screen.
Right.
You know what? It may not be a Starbucks. It may be somebody who's just gaining access to people who go, oh, look, I didn't have to sign in.
And I would say this, as annoying as it may be, because I just want to get on the internet and get my email, blah, blah, blah. And you have to deal with I'll use Panera. Panera's got this sign that it puts up there, a screen. It says, this is our acceptable use, that, and you have to agree to it at the end. I shouldn't complain about that, because that's part of my security, is that's a good indication that it's a legitimate connection.
That's an indication, but it's not a good indication.
Oh, okay.
They can replicate the screen. Oh, you have to look at the URL.
The address that's down there.
The address.
Okay.
Even that necessarily, because someone could put up a relay access point, intercept your traffic while it's unencrypted, and just redirect it to the Panera access point.
Is that the man in the middle attack?
That's a man in the middle, or it's also called a Twin Towers attack. Those are almost the same thing, but they're a little different.
I want to get back to the phones because Hilda is with us from Detroit. And
that's it. We're going off the grid.
Hilda from Detroit, welcome to the show. You had a comment for a caller about Google Drive, right?
Yes, I did, and happy birthday, I guess.
Thank you. Your birthday
today, or is it belated birthday?
It was Thursday. Thank you very much, though.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was listening to him, and I heard him say he didn't have the option to save, but I noticed when I have an email, or rather a text message, I have to click on it, and then it puts up the box to download. Then I'll download it, and another box pops up, and you can open it. And once you open it, you right-click on that to save as, and then you can name it and save it to your hard drive.
I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to give that.
I'm glad you – no, thank you very much for chiming in and helping with that.
All right.
Gary, you were going to say?
And I think she gets a certification, too, as an internet advisor.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
How do you like that? Certified internet advisor for helping us out here. Thank you so much, Hilda, for doing that. I want to do something kind of quickly. Chuck, we had talked before about helping people with a question that's often coming in here. What system should I use? Now, you're an IBM employee. You've worked with PCs. You've worked with Macs. How does a person go about making the decision about which platform to work with?
Well, the good question, and one of the things that I ask people what they're is what are they going to do with this computer?
Right.
One thing I suggest is when you're looking to invest in a computer, and we know the technology is moving very fast, is don't look at this thing to buy it today. Make it last for your next 10 years and then will it to your grandkids. This is going to be a computer. You're going to invest for, say, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that kind of thing, and maybe get a little bit more out of that. But we're not looking at spending $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 on a computer that's going to be able to launch the space shuttle.
Mm.
We want to be able to do something that is most likely for most of these people, most of our listeners here, be able to get online, check your email, check a website, look at family photos, get on Facebook, do some other social media type work where they're going to be able to utilize that computer for the next few years as these security updates and mm-hmm. issues become more processor intensive, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term. Eventually, that computer is going to start to wear out, technically. I mean, it may not physically, mm-hmm. but and then you can invest another few $100, $500, $600 or more on the next one. But an iPad may be enough. A Google a Chromebook may be enough. You may not need a full Windows 10 or Mac OS computer for what your needs are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that becomes an issue, is figuring out what you want to do first and then move forward with your budget. And
what I like about what you Chita, were you going to add to that? I'm sorry. Oh, one of the things that I like about that, and I think maybe it's counterintuitive for folks who are my age or a little bit younger, because the thought is, if I spend a lot of money for the extra special, mm-hmm. then I should be able to hang on to this for a longer time. And that really isn't the case, because the technology Correct. Is spending, it's changing so fast that you could, yes, spend $1,200, $1,300, $1,500 for something, and it'll be antiquated just as fast.
Exactly. And one of the things that I, you know, in the case, I have a son who's going to Michigan State. And it's common for us, as our kids go through high school, we get them a computer today to go through high school, and they graduate high school, and we want to give them a computer to go to college.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
And my opinion is, don't give them a computer their freshman year, because they don't know what they're doing yet. Wait till the end of their freshman year, let them learn, and then you can buy them one for their sophomore year, which will get them through graduation, most likely, and
excellent.
Into them
excellent.
To where they can afford to buy their own.
That's an excellent piece of advice. We should just kind of cut that out and post that someplace. I will do that. Chita, you wanted to wrap up with a comment?
Well, yes. I wanted to make a comment about, for people who are working with a computer, who do use it every day, when you get a computer, you want to make sure that it actually is the most powerful for what you're doing. Because a lot of people will buy a computer and just get the minimum, like the minimum
yeah.
amount of memory,
yeah.
the minimum amount of hard drive space, and they find that their computer is just slow and they're watching paint dry. You want to get the most powerful computer that you can. Max that memory out, and you want it to work for you, not wait.
Excellent advice. Chita Hunter, thank you very much. Dave McGuire and Chuck Friedman from the Mac Group. Cal, thank you so much. I'll see you on Sunday, 3 p.m.
You
at
bet.
The Birmingham Temple.
Be there or be square.
Thank you.